Each week during Advent, we have met one or two of the people involved in the story. And this week, I want us to think together about those shepherds. If you have your copy of Scripture with you, look with me in Luke chapter 2 at that very well-known traditional Christmas story. We're in Luke chapter 2. We're going to begin at verse 8. I want us to consider the text that I read for you just a moment ago, and we just saw a very creative take on that text. As we look at it together, I want to show you, I want us to think first of all, out of Luke chapter 2, I want us to think first of all about the surprised shepherds. The surprised shepherds. Beginning in verse 8 of that text, it says, in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. They were just ordinary guys. They had an ordinary job. They were just working the late shift that night. They were blue-collar, minimum-wage group of men who were about to get the front-row seats to the Hallelujah Chorus and a backstage pass to see the King. Just normal, everyday folks. Matter of fact, we might even say that they weren't all that ordinary. They were actually less than ordinary. These guys were kind of on the bottom rung of the social ladder. Because of the work that they did, they were almost always in a state of ceremonial uncleanness. In other words, they could almost never go to the temple because of the work they did. They were considered unclean. So they were looked down upon. Society did not value them very much at all. It was one of those jobs that we have in all societies and all cultures. There are jobs that nobody really wants to do, but somebody's got to do them. And that was their job. They were not respected folk. And yet, isn't it amazing that God would choose these guys to be the ones to receive the news? Now, remember that God's people have been waiting for hundreds of years. A very long time they've been waiting for Messiah to come. Many of them have remained faithful from generation to generation to generation, waiting on Messiah to show up. Waiting to find out that the prophets had told the truth. And when it's finally time, when God's great redemptive plan finally gets to the point that it's the right moment for Messiah to be born, Paul says in Galatians, it was in the fullness of time. In other words, at the exact right moment, Jesus, the Lamb of God, who was slain before the foundation of the world, the plan was already laid out before the earth was even created. We've been waiting all that time from before creation to this very moment. And who would God speak to? Wouldn't he speak to the King? Wouldn't he go to the big city in Jerusalem, the capital, if you will? Wouldn't he speak to the court in the palace of the biggest news that had ever been announced in the history of mankind? And yet he chose normal, everyday, regular folk who were outside of the little bitty town that was in the middle of nowhere. You and I have grown up familiar with Bethlehem. We all know Bethlehem. But back then, Bethlehem was a nowhere place full of nowhere people. Very small. Insignificant in the big map, if you will, the big picture. And yet God chooses that insignificant place to give the most significant news of all time to the least significant people. It's incredible. They were surprised shepherds, to say the least. In verse 9, it says, "The angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened," and I don't blame them. They're out there keeping the sheep, and all of a sudden there's an angel, and not only is there an angel, but that Shekinah glory, that light, shone all around them. They were surrounded by the very presence of God made manifest in a brilliant light. It's an incredible experience for them. And certainly they were surprised, to say the least. Just normal shepherds. You see, God came in the form of a baby boy. God, the Son, came to earth not for the religious or for the elite or for the wealthy. He came for all people. In order to make that message clear, he started at the bottom rung of the social ladder, outside of a nowhere place. He makes it clear, hey, if I'm going to come to these guys, then you know I'm serious about coming for all people. He came, did you hear the one guy who kind of interpreted it this way? He didn't come for the people that matter. He came for folk like us. And aren't you glad he did? If you ever have the opportunity to go to Bethlehem, perhaps you'll have the opportunity to see the cathedral that marks a place that many believe was the birth spot of Jesus. You can go to the cathedral and you walk into the cathedral and it's a nice, pretty church, if you will. And you look at the church and then just beyond the altar, I think it's on the right side as you go in, beyond the altar, there's basically a cave, kind of a little hole in the ground. And you go down through this cave, and once you get down into the cave, there is on the floor a star that has been placed on the floor of that cave. And the tradition is that that is the very spot that Jesus was born. The interesting thing, however, is that in order to get to that, you not only have to duck down to get into the cave, but you have to duck down to get into the door to the cathedral, because the door is made shorter than most. So in order to enter the cathedral at the place that they say Jesus was born, you have to bow just to get in. Calling all people to a sense of humility when you come to see the baby of Bethlehem. See, it starts with these humble shepherds, not the high and mighty, not the rich and elite, the powerful. It starts with the humble shepherds, and that's where it starts for us as well, when we humble ourselves enough, then we can find the baby. Notice as well, not only the surprised shepherds, but hear the angelic announcement. The angelic announcement starts in verse 9 again. He told them, don't be afraid. He appeared before them. Shekinah glory surrounded them. Then in verse 10, the angel said to them, do not be afraid. Fear not, he says. It's usually the first thing that an angel says in Scripture. Usually the first thing an angel says when he's talking to a person is, don't be afraid. Because the angel can see the fear, understand the fear, anticipate the fear. Certainly that would be a frightening experience. And so the first thing he says is, fear not. By the way, that is the most repeated command in Scripture. Fear not. He knew it was scary, but he also knew that they ain't seen nothing yet. I think in his message of fear not, he's basically saying, guys, I'm just one. If you're afraid of one, you better hold on, because you finna get lit up. You ain't seen nothing yet. He was just a soloist. The whole choir was just about to show up. And so he says, fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy. I'm not here to scare you, to frighten you. I'm not here to punish you. I'm not here to hurt you in any way. I have come Don't be afraid, because I have come to bring good news of great joy. It's not just good news. It's good news that is full of great joy. It's going to blow your socks off when I finally get to tell you. Good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. We like to get good news, don't we? We like to get good news. Read recently about the man who had a hard day at work. Everything went wrong. You ever have those days? Some days you go to work and everything goes smooth. Other days you go to work and from the minute you arrive, there's issue after issue after issue and problem after problem after problem. The people below you are mad at you. The people above you are mad at you. And you just have a terrible day. You've been there. He had one of those days and he came home. At the end of a day, he got home late. A terrible day. He said to his wife, "Honey, I love you, but I've had an awful day. Don't give me any more bad news." She said, "All right, I understand, dear. I understand. I know you've had a bad day. I'm not going to give you any bad news, but I do have some good news for you. 3 of our 4 children did not break their arm today." We like the good news. And you see that the angels' news was not just good by comparison. 3 out of 4 did okay. Their good news was not just by comparison, because it was good news of a great joy. That news was so good that it changed their fear into joy. And now notice here, the angel told them, "Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people." Verse 11, "For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Do you notice the 3 titles? Born for you this day. I'm not telling you got to wait a few days. I'm not saying hang on because it's coming. That was the prophet's job. I'm the angel. The angel is the messenger. The prophet foretold. The messenger declares. The messenger comes and he says, "This day, today, in the city of David, there is a Savior who has been born, who is Christ the Lord. He is your Savior. Not only is he your Savior, but he is the Messiah." That's the word Christ. Christ is Greek, Messiah is Hebrew. They mean the same thing. He is the Messiah that we've been looking for. And not only is he the Savior, and not only is he the Messiah, but he is the Lord. And he is here. And what great news that was. And look what happens as soon as the angel makes that great proclamation, that declaration. He said in verse 12, "This is the sign. You'll find him wrapped up in cloths in a manger." Verse 13, "And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying." Now, multitude means a bunch. We don't know how many, but it's a bunch. "Of the heavenly host," those who hang out with God in the heavens. Those who are the host, the many, the group of heaven. Suddenly, the heavens were filled. It says, "There appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men, with whom he is pleased.'" As soon as the announcement was made, heaven burst open, and the entire sky was filled with angels praising God. Notice the order of what they said as the angels appeared. They said, "Glory to God and peace among men." That's the order that it has to happen, by the way. They said, and we always picture them singing. Scripture says they said it, but I have a sneaky suspicion that some of them were singing along the way. There's too much joy here just to be talking. They said, the host praising God and saying, verse 14, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace among men." See, there are 2 points there. Glory to God who's up in the highest. Glory to God in heaven. Peace on earth, who are peace among men who are on earth. That's the order that it happens. It is only when we recognize God for who he is that then we can find peace among ourselves. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth. The angelic announcement. Notice then the faithful followers. Faithful followers, starting in the next verse, verse 15. And it came about when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem and to see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They came in haste and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. Our skit took a little bit of liberties here because I think Scripture says they didn't hang out and talk about it. They immediately went. As soon as the angels went back home to heaven, the shepherds took off. There was not much debate. There was no delay. They took off. They couldn't wait to get there. They said immediately, "Let us go and see." The good news was worth doing something about. The news was so good that it was worth doing something about it. And they said, "Let's go see. Let's go find him for ourselves." Notice that the shepherds went on their own to find the baby, because they knew that this was going to be a personal experience. It wasn't enough just to hear about it. It wasn't enough to trust that grandma had met Jesus and so she passed down the faith. They went on their own immediately to have that personal encounter with Jesus. They were the faithful followers. They couldn't wait to get there. The story was told about a shepherd who was a young shepherd that night on Christmas night. Now, in the story, he is old and his grandson sits on his knee. The shepherd recalls that night. He says, "A long, long time ago, when I was little more than a boy, I was out on the Judean hills with some other shepherds, keeping watch over the flock. An angel of the Lord came upon us. Glory of the Lord shone around us. We were very afraid. The angel said, 'Fear not. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. You'll find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.'" And when he said this, the old man's lips quivered and he couldn't speak. There was silence. The grandson turns and he looks with this wide, puzzled eyes into his grandfather's face. He says, "But grandfather, is that all? What did you do when you heard the good news? Was what the angel said true? Was the Christ child really born?" The old shepherd sadly shakes his white head and answers, "I never knew. I never went to see. Some say that it's all a myth. Others say they found in him the light of God and the power of life. But for me, I could never be quite sure because I never did go to see." Now, that's just a fictional story. As far as we know, all the shepherds who were involved that night went and found him. But isn't it an interesting story, an interesting twist that challenges us to say, would I go? Would I immediately leave those sheep and become a faithful follower? Would I take off to find Jesus personally that I might encounter him as an individual? That news was so good that it changed their fear into joy, and they had to take off. They had to do something about it. They chose to obey. Angels said, "Go," and they went. They chose to obey. They decided to see for themselves, and they refused to wait. I think those are three marks of a faithful follower: choosing to obey, deciding to make it personal, and refusing to wait. Notice then, as we conclude, the eager evangelists. The eager evangelists. Beginning in verse 17 now, what did these shepherds do? Verse 17, "And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart." They took off and they found Jesus. And as they did, they told everybody around what they had heard, what they had seen that night. They told them how they received the good news that Jesus had been born. And it says everyone around them was a little confused. That's what that word "wondered" means. It means, what in the world are they talking about? What is going on? Is this the real deal? They wondered at it, but not Mary. Mary took in every word. She took in every picture that they painted verbally, and she took in those words, and she held them and treasured them, pondered them within her very heart. And the shepherds went back then, glorifying, praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told them. They became the first evangelists in the history of the world, as they got to be the ones chosen by God to tell the good news to other people. Ordinary folks with extraordinary news. Once they met Jesus, they couldn't wait to tell others about him. Some news is just too good to keep to yourself. On Christmas Eve, 1906, the first verbal radio broadcast was heard. Until that time, folks on ships and primarily nautical, primarily ships, but folks who had access could receive like the dots and the dashes, you know, the little beeps that was like a telegraph. They could get that through a radio, put on the headphones. They'd hear the beeps, jot down the dots and dashes and translate that into words. But on this night, it was different. Apparently, a few days before this, they were told through that kind of telegraph beeps, they were told by this inventor and engineer in Canada whose name was Reginald Fessenden. They were told to pay attention Christmas Eve at 9 p.m. And so sure enough, they all had their headphones on and they were ready Christmas Eve at 9 p.m. to hear the beeps. But instead of hearing the beeps, they were astonished to hear a man's voice come through their earphones. And on that night, Reginald Fessenden played on his violin, "O Holy Night," and then he read to all in that area who could hear him, Luke chapter 2, the good news of great joy. The very first verbal broadcast through radio was the good news of great joy that Jesus has been born. You see, there is some news that's too good to keep to yourself. These eager evangelists couldn't wait to find folks to tell their experience. And now that is our joy. That's our joy. And I'm going to tell you a Christmas secret. You ready? The joy that you get by watching the kids open their gifts is temporary. That evening or the next day, you're not going to be very joyful with those kids. The joy that you get pulling that stocking down on Christmas morning, digging through, seeing what all is in there, that's going to last for about 30 minutes. And then it's just old stuff again. The way to really find Christmas joy is the joy that happens when you tell the story. The joy that happens when you tell somebody, "I found Jesus. And he's made a difference in my life and he can make a difference in yours." Christmas joy is telling the good news of great joy for all people.